academic services may begin. Will the academic dean please step forward?
Mr. President.
Dean Klotz.
May I present the Reverend Andrew J. Beener, candidate for the degree of Doctor of Divinity Honoris Causa, who has been recommended by the faculty for this degree. I shall now ask the Chairman of the Honors Council to read the faculty citation.
Standing firmly in the tradition of commitment to Jesus Christ as the only Savior of men, and to the Scriptures as the sole norm for faith and life, he served his church faithfully and creatively for more than 46 years in evangelicalistic and educational work in India, as a faithful shepherd of congregations in Nebraska and Indiana, in various supervisory and stewardship committee assignments in India as well as the United States, as the author of a number of specialized essays and dissertations, as editorial assistant at Concordia Publishing House, and for 17 years as the indefatigable and resourceful editor of the journal The Lutheran Scholar. Born in 1905 at Emory, South Dakota, Pastor Beener set his heart early on the goal of serving his Lord as a minister of the gospel. To prepare for that work, he attended Concordia College, St. Paul, Minnesota, from 1919 to 1925. He then enrolled at Concordia Seminary, from which he graduated in June of 1928. In July of that year, he was commissioned as missionary to India at St. Peter Lutheran Church, Emory, South Dakota. He and his bride of 1 month, Pauline Beck, left for their assignment soon thereafter to engage in evangelistic and educational work in the province of Kerala, India, from 1928 to 1950. While serving in India, he assisted in the translation of the Oxford Confession into Malayalam. Pastor Beener made use of his furlough years to pursue graduate work at Concordia Seminary, 1936 to 1937, at the University of Missouri and Columbia, and the University of Chicago, 1943 to 1944, earning a master's degree in education from the University of Missouri in 1944 for his dissertation, Development of East Indian Thought. While serving in India, he was chosen to be manager of Concordia High School in Trivandrum and served for a number of years as the director of education for the whole Kerala Lutheran school system, developing the basic syllabus for Lutheran mission schools. Returning to the United States in 1950, Pastor Beener served as pastor of St. Matthew Lutheran Church, Meadow Grove, Nebraska, from 1951 to 1957, and of St. Peter Lutheran Church, Vincennes, Indiana, for the 3 years from 1958 to 1961, at which time he was invited to join the editorial staff of Concordia Publishing House. From 1952 to 1956, he served as chairman of the Northern Nebraska District Stewardship Board and as a member of the District Board of Directors. He was a member of the Synodical Stewardship Conferences from 1952 to 1956. At Vincennes, Indiana, he served as university professor of ethics and church history on a part-time basis. And during three of his years with Concordia Publishing House, he taught English composition at Washington University. He was a member of Phi Delta Kappa from 1944 to 1961, of the Indian Philosophical and Science Congresses, 1946 to 1950, and of the Lutheran Academy for Scholarship from 1943 to the present date, during which time he edited 12 books for the Academy. Among his greatest contributions must be reckoned the infinite care and concern for detail and style, as well as doctrine, exhibited during his years with Concordia Publishing House. Although he is officially retired, he continues to give of himself by way of interest in graduate students that come from foreign countries to Concordia Seminary and to serve his church in several other capacities.
Honorary degrees are a recognition of distinguished service to the life of the Christian church
and each honorary degree is bestowed to thank God for the special gifts he has bestowed on the recipient and through the recipient to the church. By virtue of the authority granted by the state of Missouri under its charter to Concordia College, and by virtue of the authority granted to Concordia Seminary by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I confer on you, Andrew Beener, the degree of Doctor of Divinity, honoris causa, with all the rights and privileges thereof, and I authorize the marshal to invest you. Thanks very much, Dr. Bowman, and friends of the seminary. It would be the height of ingratitude not to say thanks for this signal honor. It is indeed a wonderful honor to receive recognition for one's alma mater. Thanks very much to you and to all who played a part in this award. But I would like to look upon this as a recognition. Not only are particularly or for what God has been pleased to do through us. And I say us particularly because I want my wife and your wife to have recognition this time also. But a recognition for all those who through the years since the Founding Fathers have been loyal to the gospel and active in promoting it throughout the world. When this log cabin seminary was first founded, Walter and his co-laborers deplored that work among uncared for Lutherans of this country made it necessary to postpone work in foreign fields. Winning the Grand Receiver and others brought the gospel to the people of this country, including the American Indians and English-speaking Americans. In the course of time, missionaries were sent to the real Indians, the inhabitants of East India. Napier, Bone, Gellerbaugh, Presley, Two Heapers, Stallman, and many others planted the seed, which has resulted in Sister Lutheran Church in India today. It was also our privilege to be in the India service for 23 years and to help write the new Indian Constitution. Eventually, our church had mission stations in China, Africa, Japan, and other countries, as well as work among many ethnic groups in the USA. Graduates from this seminary have been at work in many areas of the world. There have been many changes in our country, in our world, since our first journey to India in 1928. Changes in transportation and communication, advances in science and technology, social relations, gimmicks and gadgets, space, travel, and even education, and some aspects of human relations. But there is one thing which has not changed. God has never abrogated or diminished his great missionary command. As Dean Fritz used to tell us years ago, man is a chance made of shame. Sinful mankind still needs a Savior. And God has given us, you and me, all of us, the far marvelous privilege to bring that good news to men. Missions is not a completely new ball game with the advance of modernity. Some external aspects may have changed, but missions, instructed and inspired by this seminary, have always been bringing the gospel by word and deed to the whole man. We recall, for example, mixing and distributing milk powder and other foods to starving villagers. We attempted, sometimes not too successfully, to get rice and tapioca eaters to cook and eat American corn and wheat. We accompanied government inoculators from house to house and village to village in epidemics, demonstrating by being personally inoculated that it didn't hurt and could do much good. But some days I was no doubt the most inoculated person in South India. Another thing, thank God, has not changed. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. When a school child who has come to Christ refuses to bow down and worship the family idol, when a government official adheres to his Christian
in church relations. He is widely respected for his detailed understanding of the Lutheran confessions and his services as both parish pastor and professor of theology. Pastor Huth came to the United States from Canada, where he attended Centerville Public School, Centerville, Ontario, and the Kitchener-Waterloo Collegiate Institute before entering Concordia Seminary, Springfield, Illinois, from which he was graduated in 1941. He returned to Canada to serve as the pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kimberley, British Columbia, and Our Redeemer in Regina, Saskatchewan. In 1950, he was called to Grace and St. Matthew at Dietrich and Eberly, Illinois. From there, he was called to Floquet, Minnesota, where he served from 1951 to 1957, when he became pastor of Holy Cross in Minneapolis, which he served until 1963. In that year, he began his work as a professor at our sister seminary in Springfield, Illinois, which in 1972 granted him the degree of Bachelor of Theology. After he returned to the work of a parish pastor at St. John Lutheran Church, Rice Lake, Wisconsin. Since 1971, Pastor Huth has been serving on the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. In that capacity, he has served as chairman of the Committee on Biblical and Theological Matters, lectured widely on the subject of biblical interpretation, and assisted in the preparation of such significant documents as Gospel and Scripture, and a comparative study of contemporary approaches to the Bible. He has also participated in important studies conducted by the Division of Theological Studies in the Lutheran Council in the USA. Pastor Huth continues to serve his church as the shepherd of St. John Lutheran, Rice Lake, Wisconsin, by serving as a part-time instructor at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, Missouri, and by his continuing contributions to the work of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations.
By virtue of the authority granted by the State of Missouri under its charter to Concordia College, and by virtue of the authority granted to Concordia Seminary by the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, I confer on you, Perry Huth, the degree of Doctor of Divinity, honoris causa, with all the rights and privileges thereof, and I authorize the Marshal to invest you. Whoever did not like baptism could bestow his allegiance elsewhere.
arm and keep breathing with the sacred scriptures. The forward of the Concordia Theological in 1941 said, when we contend for the full, uncompromising acceptance of the Lutheran confessions, the keystone of our position is the conviction that the teachings contained in our symbolical books are not the result of human speculations, but the truth and revealed to us in the Holy Spirit. What the Lutheran fathers confessed in Augsburg and reiterated in the Apology and Small Talk articles, what Luther laid down in his Small and Large Catechisms, and what was given pastoral expression in the form of Concord, we consider to be not merely a valuable indication of the faith that lives in the authors, but the unadulterated doctrine of the Apostles and Prophets. Article 2 of the Synod's Constitution declares that every member of the Synod accepts without reservation the sacred scriptures as the only rule and normal faith and practice, and the Lutheran confession as the correct exposition of God's word. This, of course, includes the members of, or those members of the Synod, who constitute the faculty and the student body of our judgment. If you could see the references in this manuscript, you would notice at once that the portions in quotation marks are all taken from the writings of Dr. William Mark of Blessed Memory, who for many years taught this seminary and by the aid of God's Spirit imparted to his students precious insight into the saving truths of God's Word and deep reverence for the Holy Scriptures. When we come now to the final point of this brief presentation, namely to the seminary and the Synod's doctrinal position, it is fitting to permit him to speak once more. In an essay read to a brief conference of Lutheran seminary professors held at Augustana Seminary in Rock Island, Illinois, from June 9th to June 11th, 1943, Dr. Arndt said, the church should be in control of the schools on which it relies for its supply of spiritual leaders. I hold that it would be a mistaken course if we sought to achieve for our theological schools a position of freedom from the governing control of their church bodies. As members of the faculty of the Lutheran Seminary, we should all have the strong conviction that next to our exalted heavenly King, the church is our superior to whom we owe allegiance, service, and obedience. It is quite easy for theological professors, owing to their special training, the leadership they have to assume in the classroom, and many times they are appealed to for counsel and direction by former students and others, to fall into the error of looking upon the church as a mere aspect of the seminary, instead of always bearing in mind that the seminary exists for the benefit of the church, that the latter administers the seminary to serve. Whoever attempts to call as a professor at one of our Lutheran seminaries is not thereby authorized to follow any course whatever which his scholars' opinions and inclinations may take. He is not put into a laboratory where he may experiment and speculate to his content. He and his colleagues, together with the student body and board of control, are not sovereign. They are the servants of the church, which calls the professors, elected the board of control, and is sending its consecrated young men that have a ministry the institution. Under the leadership of teachers who agree with Dr. Arndt's view of the relation of the seminary to the church, this great school has in the past been a source of inestimable blessings to our Synod by providing a steady flow of pastors who are committed to the Synod's scriptural and confessional doctrinal position and who faithfully adhere to that position in the exercise of their sacred office. In the years of great divide ahead, this prayer of confession and deliverance. We commit the synod and the seminary to the keeping of the Lord of the Church. Lord Jesus Christ, it is thy holy gospel, it is thy cause. Look upon many troubled hearts and consciences, and maintain and strengthen in thy truth thy churches and little flocks, who suffer anxiety and distress from the devil. Confound all hypocrisy and lies, and grant peace and unity, so that thy glory may advance, thy kingdom strong against the gates of heaven, may continually grow and increase. Amen.
Respected for his empathy toward the pastoral needs of others, he has served his church with more than the usual understanding of its problems, both at the parish level and in various district offices. As president of the Michigan District, he has been a model for the work of serving as pastor to the clergy and the teaching ministry within this largest of all synodical districts. Born in Palisade, North Dakota in 1921, he came to St. John's Academy and College in Winfield, Kansas in 1934. From there, he came to Concordia Seminary in 1940, receiving his Bachelor of Arts degree in 1942, and completing his seminary program in 1945 during the days of World War II when academic sessions were held all year around. He finished with the Epiphany class in 1945 and was ordained on March 4, 1945 at his first parishes, Emmanuel at Powell and Redeemer in Cody, Wyoming. From there, he was called to Grace Church in Fairbury, Nebraska in 1948. 5 years later, he became the pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church, Royal Oak, Michigan. From 1960 to 1970, he shepherded St. John Lutheran Church in Rochester, Michigan, during which time he also became circuit counselor and was elected to the district stewardship board and to the office of the vice president. Since 1969, he has been the president of that district. From 1971 to 1974, he served as the secretary of the Council of Presidents. He has been a representative of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod to the annual meetings of the Lutheran Council in the USA twice, and was appointed to serve on the Synodical Convention on Nominations Committee from 1973 to 1975. In 1971 and 1973, he was a member of floor committees at Synodical Conventions. He continues to serve on Synod's Teacher Placement Committee, as he shepherds his large district through the difficult days that beset our church at the present time.
By virtue of the authority granted by the state of Missouri under its charter to Concordia College, and by virtue of the authority granted to Concordia Seminary by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I confer on you, Richard Schlecht, the degree of Doctor of Divinity, honoris causa, with all the rights and privileges thereof, and I authorize the Marshal to invest you. Dr. Bowman, Mr. President, Reverend members and brothers of the faculty, Board of Control, Seminary. To say the least, I am deeply grateful for the award you have just granted me. And I must confess that it is indeed a humbling experience to be so honored. I understand, well, that the blessing comes not just in receiving an honorary degree, but in the always present realization that the office of the Holy Ministry is an astounding assignment for frail men. In my almost 30 years of active ministry, I've been led to often recall the words of the sainted Martin Luther, who wrote, "Our Lord God fills his high office in an odd manner. He entrusted to preachers, poor sinners, who tell and teach the message and yet live according to it only in weakness. Thus God's great power goes forward always amid extreme weakness." Led by the spirit and understanding of the Reformer, and enforced by the words and promises of our God, our Saxon forefathers understood well, too, the office of the Holy Ministry and the mission it was to provide the people of this world as a servant of the Lord of the Church. As they established settlements in their new Heimatland where they could serve God unhindered according to the word of grace for the salvation of men, they were committed to maintain a ministry that would preserve for themselves and their descendants this word of grace in completeness and purity. Thus the training of pastors and teachers became one of their priority undertakings. The first shelters for living of the Saxon immigrants had hardly been erected in Perry County, Missouri, when the newly formed parishes established what we know today as Concordia Theological Seminary. The hopes and plans of these Saxon forefathers to serve the Lutheran Church for all times and to train pastors and shepherds for her only never diminished. Their zeal was only intensified as horizons were opened wider by the missionary journeys and outreach of such saints as Friedrich Wedekind, August Kramer, and William Seeler. Since its inception, Concordia Seminary has sought to implant in the hearts and minds and lives of students a commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ in dedication to a ministry of his gospel, to its source, the written word of our God, and to our Lutheran confession. History will tell us that in that mission, Concordia Seminary stands as the Lord's great and fruitful blessing to our beloved synod and the whole Christian Church. To these halls, he has sent thousands of young men with a diversity in age, gifts, culture, and knowledge, and has banded them together on the basis of the one truth and the one pure confession of that truth, here taught and ever upheld. Concordia Seminary has been in its history a powerhouse, from which ever new currents of living, serving forces have flown out of it into the body of the Church. As it was conceived and born and nurtured in the cradle of the parish, so it has always been the root by which our parishes have drawn out of the soil of the living word of our God the vigor and the vitality for their spiritual life and ministry. Its graduates have become God's great instrument to equip the saints for an expanded ministry to man's soul, to touch with the hand of God's love the whole being of our brothers and sisters everywhere. While Concordia Seminary might always appear small to the eye by the standards of worldly impressiveness, it is great in the Lord's Church. It is great in the Synod, which maintains it and which it serves. It is great in its commitment, great in its leadership. It is great in the living trust in its imperishable foundation. For the blessings of its past and present, we gloriously hymn David's song, "I thank you, Lord, with all my heart, because of your constant love and faithfulness." For the future in its service to the same Christ and Church, may both Concordia's administration and faculty follow in the spirit of its founding fathers and seek for the generations to come a steadfastness in the whole word of our God, centered in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, sharpen the conscience of the synod, that will hallow the hearts of its students and pastors and graduates, and that will fit us all for a consecrated mission as Christ's glorious Church for an even greater day. For that rich blessing, we daily pray, and brethren, for your quest to press forward in that commitment, we too stand ready in support.
Butts.
May I finally present
Reverend
respected for his gentle but firm leadership as a pastor and as the president of the Indiana District of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. He has consistently and with great courage advocated an unequivocal commitment to the doctrine of the Scriptures and the Lutheran Confessions as it has been understood and practiced by our Synod since its inception. His quiet but effective grasp and articulation of theological issues as they have confronted the Church have won him the respect not only of pastors in his district, but of colleagues of the Council of Presidents. Born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in 1919, President Zimmerman entered Concordia College in his native city in 1934, received his Bachelor of Arts degree from Concordia Seminary in 1941, completing his theological training in 1944. In August of that year, he was ordained in Boston, Indiana, as the pastor of Bethel Lutheran Church. From 1948 to 1958, he served as pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, where he was also chosen to serve on the board of directors of Lutheran Child Welfare Association. At that time, Indiana was still part of the Central District. There he served as a member of the Board of Finance, which operated as the district board of directors. Elected to the stewardship board of the district in 1957, he became its executive secretary in January 1958. Seeing it through the years of division to serve in the same capacity for the Indiana district until 1966. That year he became the executive secretary for missions of the new district. 4 years later, he was chosen as district president and was re-elected to that position in 1974. President Zimmerman's other contributions to synodical life include his responsibilities as the chairman of the Concordia Senior College Board of Control, his services on the Budget Review Committee of Synod, his work for the Fiscal Conference of Synod, and his membership on synodical convention floor committees on theology and on higher education. President Zimmerman's deep sense of churchmanship is a great blessing to our own church body and others in these critical years. By virtue of the authority granted by the state of Missouri under its charter to Concordia College, and by virtue of the authority granted to Concordia Seminary by the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, I confer on you, Elvin Zimmerman, the degree of Doctor of Divinity, honoris causa, with all the rights and privileges thereof, and I authorize the marshal to invest you.
Many scripture passages come to mind on an occasion like this. hard to imagine a time 135 years ago as being much different, really, than it is today, in spite of the fact that we know it was. They were. A few years after the seminary had been established here, we know that Friedrich Wieneken came to this country and became very much interested in theological education in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He had succeeded Hoover, who had died of a malaria-type disease after a very short ministry at St. Paul's, one of the mother congregations in the Synod. Immediately, Dr. Wieneken recognized the need of providing for the ministry of the church, and he took upon himself the responsibility of training young men for the office of the ministry in his own home. And there was a great and crying need at that time for pastors. He wrote to Germany an appeal which I have copied, and you wonder today whether such an appeal might not be made also to the church in the 20th century. He said, "Your brethren in the faith, possibly your brothers and sisters according to the flesh, are hungry for the nourishing meat of the gospel. They cry out and implore you, oh, help us. Give us preachers to strengthen us with the bread of life and to instruct our children in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Oh, help us, for we are undone. Why do you not come to our assistance? Consider the words, what ye have done unto the least of my brethren ye have done unto me. Why do you not help us? Is that your love for Jesus?" This appeal was written to his brethren in Germany, and the response of the appeal was rather overwhelming. Money and men began to flow in, and Dr. Leia in Bavaria